quickly some of the same things. It is good to be here with you this morning. It's been, as I said earlier, it's been a long time since I preached. And so pray for me regarding that. Amen. I have a lot of things, probably like everybody that's sitting in church and living in these times. There's a lot of things that the Lord places upon our hearts as we're in His Word, as we go to church and different things. And this morning in Sunday school, really the crust of my message and the lesson, whatever you want to call it, is we really need to be a people that love. We don't need to be loving sin. You know, I think we know that, but we need to be people that love. If I have a message title, it's not what I gave it, but I would simply say choose love in this time. Choose love in this time. And I don't want that to sound like a song lyric. I don't want it to sound like I'm saying love sin, because we shouldn't. Please don't misunderstand that. But there's a lot of angry people. But we're still God's people. Doesn't matter what comes, and I hate to say this, it just kind of scares me what's going to come next. But we still have a work to do. Our churches are going through difficulty all over. But we still have a work to do. As members of the Lord's churches, we still have a work to do. I'm a church member just like you. There's a lot that needs to be done. So I hope this is a positive message this morning. Our pastor often says, people want positive. Of course, he preaches the truth, but I can only imagine the pressure that are upon pastors as they continually stand before God's people in this day and time. But I have a positive message, I believe, for us this morning. Go with me to the book of John, chapter 13. But I would also say if it was a negative message, I don't get to preach very much. And unlike a pastor, I always try to, you know, just like a pastor does, we try to use words that obviously God is pleased with. But what God gives me, I've learned over the years, I'm going to preach it. If I only preach once a year or once every 5 years, I'm going to preach what God gives me to preach, or I shouldn't be preaching at all. So we look. This morning, I would simply say to you, in this time, and 20 years from now, 20 years back, 20 years from now, if we're still here, we need to choose love. We need to be the people that God has called us to be. People throw the word love around today, and that word is so overused and so abused. I love my family. I love my family. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love my extended family. But I don't love anybody like I love my family. After that, I would say I love my church family. And when I say my church family, I don't mean all the churches in the fellowship. I mean my church family. I love my church family. Amen. I love my pastor. I love fellow churches like Faith and Order. I love them. Doesn't mean that I know everybody, but we're all the same. But I also love lost sinners in this world that need Jesus Christ, because I'm a firm believer there are yet souls that are going to be saved. Amen. Some of them may, as I said this morning in Sunday school, some of them may not look like me. Some of them may be in the Middle East. But you know what? I didn't deserve salvation no more than they did. We need to choose love. Let's look at what the Lord teaches us in His Word. And we're going to look at much of John. John the Apostle, the last one I believe that lived, the one that was used of the Lord mightily in the Revelation, the one that was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. He was persecuted. Persecution shouldn't stop us from serving God. It didn't stop John. And John taught many things. And one of the things that we're going to look at is the love that John taught. Notice in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 33. John 13, 33. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, as I said unto the Jews. Whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you. We think we're having it rough. We are. But what was going on in this time? Jesus had physically walked with his disciples, with his apostles, and he was going to leave them. And he says to them, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Oh, people know that I am a disciple because, and I said this morning, I'm going to say it again. There's some of you that weren't here. People know that I am a saved person because I'm always at church. If we haven't figured this out by now, we should. The world can see right through a hypocrite. I don't care where we go to church. I don't care if we were born a Baptist and we were saved or made a profession of faith and we were always in a Baptist church and right at the center of the Lord's church. The world can still see through a hypocrite. One way we evidence ourselves is by the love that we show. Brother Dennis, I appreciated that this morning. The briars and the thorns, and really good. And the briars and thorns of hatred is just out of control. God has all things in control. But the world will know that we are his disciples if we have love one to another. I don't know about anybody else. I only know about me. I know when the Lord saved me, he gave me a love for his word. When I was a teenager and I was forced to go to church, I didn't want to go to church. I didn't hate God's people, but I didn't want to be around them. I certainly didn't like the preachers that, you know, necessarily want to listen to them. But when the Lord saves you, he changes you. There's not a single person that has ever said that the Spirit of God does not take residence in your life. Right. And something happens to a person when the Spirit of God moves in. They begin to love people. We can't look back on all the bad experiences or our troubled childhood and say, I'm this way and I don't like people or I don't trust people because of this. If we're saved, we have the Spirit of God within us and we're going to desire to want to love people. And he says, people will know we're his disciples by the way that we love. And I just asked the question today in 2020, among us as God's people, I've been blessed many times over by being a member of a Baptist church. It's not every service and every time hasn't always been easy. But at the end of the day, by God's grace, I'm going to continue to be a member of a Baptist church till the Lord takes me home. I love being a member of a Baptist church. And I love the people. And I love the people and the fellowship. But I asked a question today. Where is the love? There's no shortage of gossip. There's no shortage of envy. There's no shortage of I want to be the greatest. But where is the love? Where is the affection? I think of the story of, you remember David and Jonathan? Their hearts were knit together. Jonathan's father tried and Saul wanted to kill David because of envy. And what did Jonathan do? He chose David over his family. And if there's one thing that is a thorn in the church today, is people are choosing families over their faith. When you're truly saved, and if I'm truly saved, we have to choose our faith over our family. I have my son come to me a few months ago, no longer, I mean, doesn't live at home anymore. Love him to death, great kid. But he said, of all the 20,000 religions out there, how do you know that you're right? And my answer to that is the Bible says that we are to rightly divide the word of truth. That's the biblical answer. The other answer that I'll give you is look at the circuses that are going on today in the name of religion. You know, almost paying people to come to church. You don't have to beg people to come to church when they know the Lord is their Savior. Amen. There's no other place I want to be when it comes to the Lord's day than in His house. And I'll go a step farther than that. When I leave His house on His day, I don't want to be out in the world doing all kinds of other things. It's His day. Amen. But we need to love the Lord, and we need to love His people. And David and Jonathan had that, they had that connection. Notice something else. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We are so afraid today, and I know we're limited, and I understand that. But even before this COVID thing, we are so afraid today to show affection sometimes to our brothers and sisters in Christ. It shouldn't be that way. Amen. The Bible tells us, in Romans chapter 12, in verse 9, let your love be without pretense. Let your love be without dissimulation. Let it be without hypocrisy. And then it says in verse 10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Let's just be honest. I've seen some of you guys here for many years. All my whole life. And the same is true in probably all of our churches. And there's times we may go to church with somebody that we may not like them at that particular time. But we don't quit going to church because of it. We reconcile, we move on. Because although we may not like someone, we still love them. I think Brother Charlie was saying that earlier about some things. We may not like them. Sometimes I'm not the most likable person. But please show me grace and still love me and pray for me. And the same is true with each one of us. We're living in a society today where we just look at people like they're dispensable and we can just throw them away. God did not give us that option. We can't just throw people away. Right. We love people. We're in this to see people come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. Notice with me also in Acts chapter 20. Notice Acts chapter 20. And we're going to get to our main text, but I'm just going to take my time and try to share with you. This is a touching story. As Paul is at Ephesus and he's leaving, I just want you to notice a few verses. In verse 36, 37, and 38. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down, Paul. He kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that he should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. It ought to sadden us if we were in this situation where Paul was our teacher, Paul was our pastor, he was the one that had taught us so much, and we knew that we was never going to see him again. That ought to sadden us just like it did them here. And I say that when it comes to regards to our pastors, when it comes to regards to each other. We ought to have a little bit of affection, a little bit of love within our hearts towards one another. And I overall believe that we do. But the Bible teaches us to make that increase more and more. Don't let the hatred and the leaven of this world wear off on us where we become a person that lets our love wax cold. Don't let somebody whose love is waxing cold for the Lord take you down. Don't follow their examples, we're going to see in a little bit later. Judas, again, we'll see maybe later on. Judas was one of the original. He was one of the 12, but he was an enemy of the Lord. Be comfortable with those that love God and love each other. Not always putting fuel on the fire. Go to 3 John. It's a positive message. 3 John, the first 8 verses. When I go to the book of 3 John, probably like you, you think of one person, at least I do. And in this morning's message, we're not even going to look at that one person. We're not even going to look at those verses. We're looking at love. I want us to try to be the people that when the world sees us, they will want what we have. We are reflections of Jesus Christ. We are reflections of the one, we're supposed to be reflections of the one who gave everything for our souls. Everything. He loved us. And we're to love others as He loved us. And again, I'm going to say again, people throw the word around love. I like people. And overall, the Bible says we're to love our neighbors, ourselves. I understand. We do that. But the kind of love here, this close love that Christ had for us, we need to have for one another. There should be a bond when we come with each other. And I just want to notice the scriptures. 3 John chapter 1, or 3 John verse 1, forgive me. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. The elder Gaius, whom I love in the truth. We see in this verse a pure and passionate love from John toward Gaius. And I also believe it was the other way around. There was a love between them. And what was the thing that bonded them? What was the thing that had cemented them together? Truth. And that is how it's supposed to be with us. There's so many people today, they're cemented together in things, but it's based on hate. Let it not be said of us that we have in common with people because of our hate. Now, again, hatred of sin, yes. What I'm saying is, in verse 1, there was love between John and Gaius. Let me ask you a question. Ask myself, and I would ask this anywhere. I have a pastor. I'm a church member like you. When they get up and they preach the truth to us, what is our relationship with them? Do we love them? Do we love our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Notice verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. In a church relationship, when we truly love someone, we just don't want them to prosper spiritually. Gaius here, he was obviously close to the Lord and his fruit was showing. And John says, I don't want you just to prosper there. I want you to prosper in all the ways in your life. How is that with us? I fear many times we thrive on bad news. Oh, one of the greatest things, and people may not like me because of this, but they'll have to deal with the Lord. One thing that's killing our churches are informations that leave one assembly and go to another. It has no business doing that. We're independent. In thriving, passing the bad news around, do we rejoice in that? You won't believe this. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it again. Then we'll talk about it. We're not to be like that. There's some things we just got to let go. Let God deal with it, not us. We shouldn't desire to see our brothers and sisters in Christ do poorly. We should be blessed when they're doing well. We all have enough problems. No matter what we try to portray on social media, for those of us that may have it, we all have sorrows. We all have heartbreaks. We all have problems. And we shouldn't rejoice when our brothers and sisters are going through great difficulty. And John didn't hear, and he taught us that. Verse 3, he says, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came, and they testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth." As I look, again, I said this morning, as I look out and I see people that have been here as long as I can remember, that is a blessing to me and encourages me. That's got, no matter how difficult it may get, you need to stay with the truth. You need to keep going in the right direction. It can be done. Yeah, it's going to be difficult, but it can be done. So much of the New Testament is really deals with this one verse right here, perseverance. Verse 3. So much of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul or others are exhorting people to don't get carried away with false doctrines, but persevere in the faith. And it ought to make us smile as we see people persevering in the faith. Verse 4. "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Truly, I believe this verse applies to a parent, but that's not the context here. I think it's the greatest thing when a mom and a dad has children that are serving the Lord. And they, you know, we can't take glory to ourselves because that's all of grace. It doesn't take away from our responsibility to raise them. But it says here, and I believe what he's talking about is, I believe John was a mentor, if you will. He was taught Gaius and was instrumental, I believe, in his life. And when he says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Let me ask you this. Do you think Gaius really listened to John's counsel, his preaching, his teaching? I hope in this day and age that we as God's people truly listen to the teachers and the pastors that God places before us. Because these are dark days. Verse 5. "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren." And it doesn't stop there. And I hit on this in Sunday school this morning. "Beloved, thou faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers." Well, let's look at the context of this. What is this talking about? Well, as no doubt missionaries or people would come to be instrumental, be used of the Lord to preach, to teach, to encourage this church, whatever the case may be, there would be those at times they had never met before. They didn't know who they were. And just because we may not know who somebody is doesn't mean we treat them any differently. I often said this. I remember 9/11. We all remember 9/11. I was telling my daughter that, and her friend, I said, "Man, you guys don't know how much this country has changed." And I went back to 9/11. But as I think about that, I remember being a little bitter. And I remember getting locked out of my car. And you know who unlocked my car and didn't charge me? An Arab guy that owned a tow service. I don't hate all Arabs. I'm not going to spend my whole life talking about them, how horrible they are. Because you know what? Apart from the grace of God, I know what I am. Even as a saved individual today, I know what I am. You know what the Bible tells us, I think, that we pay very little attention to today? He says, "He that is first is going to be last." He that is first in the kingdom is going to be last. I kind of wonder how many people are going to be in that front of the line when it comes to the Lord, that we would say, wow, I never seen that coming. Scott, why do you say that? Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. We need to be a lover of people. Not their sins, but we need to be, that love that we have should cause us to treat everybody as Gaius did here. And I believe this church did here in verse 5. Verse 6. Which have borne witness of thy charity. What does that mean? These strangers that were treated very well by this church, they went back, I believe, to the church and reported how well they were treated. Which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. Let me just say this. Does it make a difference in someone's life? You go to a restaurant and you have a really bad experience. Do you forget about that easily? You go and you deal with somebody. It's probably a month ago. I was in my beater car. I got a $300 probably by now BMW 99. I mean, it's a joke, but it gets me to work and home. And I was in Toledo. And this lady, she was in, I don't know, it was a really nice car, nothing wrong with having that, but just really totally just about put me into the curb. Usually I get mad, as guys we do, but I just kind of had to laugh. I thought, well, this is the world we live in. And I had, you know, kind of thoughts and things. Yesterday my wife's at the store, she's buying food, can't find her debit card. Lady behind her, we know these things happen. Not really happened to me. It's like $32. She goes, my wife couldn't find her debit card. She goes, I got that. I'm not going to forget that. The way we treat others and the way we are treated, it does have an impact upon our life. And I don't want to give you a motivational speech, but I do want to share with you that the way that we treat others, regardless of who they are, we need to have love. Which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom without bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Verse 7. Because that for his name's sake, they went forth. Who are we serving? Who do we say that we're representing? Being a Christian is more than just coming to church. And maybe being bored, maybe getting a nap. Coming to the house of God is a part of Christianity, but it doesn't stop on Sunday when we leave. It goes with us throughout the whole week. We're God's representatives. We're ambassadors for Christ throughout the whole week. And we see here in verse 7, it says, because that for his name's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. Well, what did the Jews think of the Gentiles? Jews had thoughts of the Gentiles of the same many thoughts people have today. They were a step better. There was partyism. Nothing's new under the sun. They looked at the Gentiles and they were called dogs. Well, we like somebody to call us a dog? How dare they? They thumbed their noses at them. But because of the love of God, not only did they go to the Gentiles, they didn't take anything of the Gentiles because of love. And that's how we should be. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers of the truth. If there's one verse, there's probably many, but if there's one verse that describes what I've tried to do since the day the Lord has saved me and I surrendered to preach, and it wasn't the same day, but it was close. I see myself as trying to be merely a cheerleader. Merely someone that is a peacemaker. Merely someone that just wants to be an encouragement to the work of the Lord, just like they were here. Why? The Lord put that love within my heart. If you're here this morning, and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you've never been saved, I would tell you, and I would preach to you, I can't stand up here and tell you God has a perfect plan for your life. That's a lie. I don't know what God's plan is for your life. I don't even know what God's plan is for my life. But I can tell you, the scriptures tell us to seek God while he may be found. Doesn't matter how young you are. Doesn't matter how old you are. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. It's not just a mere assumption that, yes, I believe in God. That belief is found in the book, is it James, where it talks about a faith that produces fruit. And I believe the very first fruits that faith, true faith produces is repentance because of the faith. I think maybe they go hand in hand. I believe they do. Has there ever come a time in your life, maybe you're here and you've been a member of a church for years, has there ever been a time in your life that you truly repented of your sins, that the Lord really changed you, that you know that you were saved? We lift up Jesus Christ. You can be nice to people and you can be kind to people, and we should. But there's going to be all kinds of nice and kind people that are going to be in a place called hell because they did not seek God. They did not seek the only way that they could go to heaven, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. If we could have got to heaven in any other way than the blood of Jesus Christ, then he went through all that for nothing. And he didn't go through all that for nothing. We lift up Jesus Christ before you. And I thank you for your time, and I'll give the service over to whoever's going to take it.